get in the know. Non-stop Vikings talk. It's Purple Daily on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
You know, I had Rex Grossman when I was a rookie, and Rex had played in a Super Bowl and won a lot of playoff games and started a lot of games in the NFL and was in year 10. So it was great to be able to learn from him, and he was a big part of my early development as a football player. And I really, you know, took every word that he said to heart because I felt like he had been there, he had done that, he knew what it should look like, and I hung on his every word. So, you know, I've been there and want to certainly be that same resource whenever possible.
There he is, boys. Mr. Game-Winning Drive, the fourth quarter pharaoh, the dagger doctor, the secondary slayer himself. In the flesh at Vikings OTAs, Kirk Cousins.
A disciple of Rex Grossman. I think we just answered a bunch of questions.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, come. That's a cheap
I think
shot.
We just answered a lot. No, no. You know what? Life shot. Is about understanding. It's about listening and processing what we learn. I think we just learned some things.
A disciple. Do we know? Did we know that he was a disciple
Spurgeon
of Rex Grossman?
Wynn. No, I followed Spurgeon Wynn everywhere. No, I followed Christian Ponder to the ends of the earth to learn how to be a quarterback.
It explains a lot, right, that he is a disciple of Rex Grossman. He's had to overcome so much more than just his draft pick status. I feel like now that I know that he's a disciple of Rex Grossman, I've been way too hard on him. I mean, look at all the things he's overcome.
This man.
My God.
By the time Rex was done, Kirk should have been like a ninth round draft pick, and that round doesn't even exist. He took him from him. Anyway.
Well, this is Purple Daily, and I mean, listen, I don't even know who we're disciples. I guess we're disciples of Collar, because Collar was the main host of the show, so that's why we're smarter. We've just been riding his coattails. But this is Purple Daily, presented by TCL. Enjoy more of what you love with TCL. And boys, today is a great day, because Kirk Cousins spoke to the media, as you saw it yesterday, and he very rarely... Like, he says a lot without saying a lot, usually. Yes. He's sort of the corporate quarterback.
Yep.
You know, he understands how to fill space with words without really saying anything overly controversial or interesting. It's the modern-day corporate quarterback. But he pulled the curtain back yesterday in a very interesting way, a very self-reflective way. Declan's going to fire up a couple of clips here. This is Kirk in a very introspective way explaining the main thing he's done this offseason.
I wanted to go back and just really study it, create cut-ups, kind of build up some volume that I could pull from as we go forward. I regret that I hadn't done it earlier in my career, but I did, you know, get the film set up at my house to basically have access to all of that so that all offseason, even if I'm not in the facility, I would have access to tape. And I do think it's been a really valuable resource to have, and I'm kicking myself that I didn't do it sooner in my career.
Let's fire the next one too.
I heard Tom Brady when that TV show came out that was called The Brady Six, where it talked about the people who are drafted ahead of him and followed their journeys. And Tom, at one point in the long documentary, it was very interesting. He was quoted as saying, I watched myself on film, and to this day, I still don't feel like I'm that good. And I really felt that sentiment when he said it. I was in college, but I understood what he meant. And now going back and watching my career, I would echo that same sentiment that I watch myself in 12 and 13 and 14 and think, man, I'm such a better quarterback now. I can't believe that the coaches didn't just cut me when I did that, made that mistake. I can't believe they were so patient with me.
So I think, and I know it's probably different for each quarterback, but I think a lot of guys, like, you get better by watching yourself on tape. Like, that's what athletes are forced to do every week, especially in football. You all sit in a room and you break down your performance. I think that's probably cringing for a lot of athletes to do that any more than they have to, but it's probably a helpful exercise. So Kirk Cousins admitting, yeah, I went back and watched basically every game and every snap of my career as a starting quarterback to this point, and I sort of picked up that notion from that Tom Brady documentary. So what did you guys think of Kirk Cousins and his summer mission or spring mission to watch every snap?
I was actually very surprised that at some point in time, way before, because he started for a long time now, going back to his days in Washington, I was surprised that he hadn't done this before. Like, I would think that as a quarterback, you would be almost obligated at the end of every year to watch the previous season back, if not more, to try to get ideas of things that, that you personally can, and especially Kirk, like you could journal to improve on, right? Like write a bunch of stuff down or put it on your laptop. I don't know. I'm just surprised. He's so anal that I would have thought that he would have done this like every year and like watched himself and thought, what can I do? And actually, to a certain degree, to a detriment, right? Where he would have overthought it. So the fact that he hadn't done this exercise surprised me.
Do you guys ever go back and listen to old episodes of Judd's Hockey Show just to get better?
Declan does.
I do. I honestly do.
Oh, you do?
No, I legitimately do. I legitimately go back and listen to things. I think it's especially like in broadcasting, like a lot of people, I cannot stand when people say who are prospective students or you're getting a broadcast, like, oh, I hate the sound of my voice. Then you better pick a new career. Because you're literally using your voice for your career. So how are you going to improve if you don't go back and listen to what you're saying and what you're doing?
Are you saying that you love the sound of your voice?
No, I don't love the sound of my voice.
You go to sleep at night with...
You go back and listen to those shows and say, God, I'm good.
No,
God,
I'm good.
Great point, Declan. Great point.
Just ding.
What a take.
He's got like a bell where he's like, ding.
Throws another seltzer into the trash can.
Ding. Just another great take.
Got it.
Just another great take.
I nailed Victor Rask again. Just absolutely hammered him home.
Look, I know that we're supposed to go on our first date, but I was thinking instead, why don't we put on Judd's Hockey Show and listen to my cutoffs?
Oh, I don't do that. That would be a disaster. No, I don't.
That's what Declan says.
No.
You never, when she gets in the passenger seat, you never accidentally an episode cranked of Mackie and Judd or a couple seltzers.
It wouldn't be Mackie and Judd. It would be Judd's Hockey Show with Declan down Victor Rask.
Yes, exactly. That's what I've been doing wrong this whole time, apparently. Yeah.
So Judd had immediately, once Kirk Cousins said that yesterday, Judd sends us a note and says, listen, I've got takes on what I think Kirk Cousins should have learned watching himself on film the last few years. So we would love to hear those.
So the question is, since this is the first time in his time as a starter, which I believe dates back to 2015, correct? I think his first year starting was 2014 or 15.
15, 16, 17. Yeah, 6 years as a starter, yeah.
So the question then to me was, and he's not probably going to delve into this himself that much, but the question becomes, okay, that's great, great exercise, great idea to go back and watch all of your starts, but Kirk, what did you learn? Like, what did you learn? Because if the takeaway was as Dex's is, God, am I great. I am a talented quarterback. Look at that. I used to suck, but now I'm great. Well, then it's not very productive. So I've got 5 jumping off points, okay?
Wow. Is this a pecking order?
For things, not really. No, because it's not, it's just five points. The first point could be 0.4. So it's 5 things, but it's not an order. It's just
arbitrary. Are these 5 points of emphasis?
There are 5 things that occurred to me among something that I would like him to be, things I'd like him to be more self-aware about in a lot of cases to learn from. Because like if you go back and watch yourself and you're like, man, that was look at that throw. Oh my God, that's a great throw. Then it doesn't really help you, right?
Okay. All right. Let's. I think this warrants a little some appropriate music here.
Football.
And we'll give you the floor.
Okay.
All right. 5 things that Kirk hopefully picked up on as he watched film of himself, courtesy of Judd Zulgin.
I'll state each point, and then if you guys want to cut in at that point as well, feel free to. So it doesn't have to be me doing 5 consecutively, okay?
And let's give Declan like an open floor so that he can capture the clips of his takes and then, you know, listen back to them later.
I do put timestamps.
I'll shut my mic off.
Hold on. We're at...
So when Declan starts to talk...
9:30, okay? 9:30. Yep. Good to go.
When Dex cuts in, you'll get this from me.
Just straight silence.
Just say
mic off. Sure. Lot of nodding.
We need the clean takes. Okay. Clean takes for Dex.
All right. Yep. So goal number one of what did Kirk's summer vacation study program teach him? The goal is not perfection. The goal is not perfection. I often think that Kirk is trying to be perfect and make the perfect play or make the perfect read or do the perfect thing. And in my opinion, especially in professional sports, attempting to avoid mistakes through perfection is actually detrimental. So you know, in Kirk's mind, it's hold the ball until I have the receiver, hold the ball until I see this, hold the ball. Well, that's when the ball gets stripped, right? So goal one for Kirk should be to realize Perfection is the enemy of actual success.
See, I'm a little worried because one of the things he said when he's thinking about, he's reflecting back on his first 3 years in the NFL when he was sort of a, you know, part-time starter, and he said, man, like, I can't believe the coaches didn't cut me for some of the mistakes that I made. And so I worry that he's looking back at 6 years of film and he's looking at mistakes and thinking, boy, I need to, and he does need to cut some of the mistakes in big moments against the Falcons, right? But if you're too paralyzed by making a mistake or the idea of making a mistake, how are you going to perform loosey-goosey in the peak moments, right? Like, on the other side of that coin is Brett Favre, who is just, like, proud of throwing interceptions, right? He really didn't care at all if he threw a game-changing interception until the very last. I mean, the one he threw at the end of the NFC Championship game in 2009, that affected him. But for the most part, he was just like, on to the next. Who cares?
Yep.
And it helped him win a Super Bowl early in his career, but it also derailed some chances to win Super Bowls later on.
So
I'm going to back out for Declan here.
Okay.
Oh, I was just going to say, I like what Kirk's doing here. You have to recognize that you can only get better by looking at what you've been able to do. So I think he's doing the right thing. And if he wants to go back to his starts in Washington, okay, go ahead and do it. But also, I would be more focused on what have you done recently with the Vikings and with your offensive line that has mostly held you back. But where can you improve and also not crutch to the offensive line collapsing? Can you rise up and overcome those circumstances? So, yes, I think he's doing the right thing going back to watching all the film. And the Kirk study, summer study program, I think, is a great, great moniker here. I like this.
What I learned. In summer school with Kirk Cousins and Rodney Dangerfield.
Solid. All right. There. All right.
Number two on what did Kirk learn or what do we hope Kirk learned? You know what, Kirk? It's okay to take chances. When you have your arm, which is a very good arm, like you've got the big boy arm here. This is not a problem with, oh, man, the Teddy Bridgewater arm strength conversation. This is not involving Kirk. When you have Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson, who are dynamic receivers, you have to trust them, correct? And you have to trust yourself. So this sort of ties into point one. You don't need perfection. What you need is to put the ball with your arm strength in the vicinity of a guy like a Jefferson. And you know what? Odds are good. He's going to catch it. Now, it might be picked, but if it's picked on a, wait for it, nine route. That's right, kids. Deep route.
Football.
Wow, look at you right now. Look at you. Going for it. You're going for it all right now.
That could be tantamount to basically a punt, right? But if it's caught, it's a huge play. So I hope Kirk has learned, too, in watching his checkdowns, quite frankly, in watching his checkdowns, in watching the safe passes that went, you know, on third and 12 that went for 7 or 8 yards. I hope Kirk has learned that he has the ability. Darn it. He's strong enough, his arm's good enough, and people do like him, I think, that he can take chances.
Yeah. And you know, all this talk about being paralyzed by perfection, it might be a problem with Kirk Cousins. It's not a problem with PXG because they make damn near the perfect golf club, okay? It's, in fact, the Gen 4 clubs are basically the best performing clubs they've ever made, and that's a high bar already. And so whether you're just looking to shave a few strokes off your game, whether you're looking to just look better as a golfer who maybe shoots a high score, like Declan and I, mostly. Right?
Yeah,
we might fire a 110 on.
We're gonna look good. You look good.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
PXG Minneapolis in Southdale Center. You can find out more at pxg.com/Minneapolis.
Football.
So take chances, Kirk. Take chances. Deep passes. You're good enough to do it. Number three on what did Kirk learn in his summer adventures of study? He didn't go to Europe? No, no, no. He didn't even probably leave the United States? Oh, no, no. He might not even be vaccinated. We don't know. He didn't say yes or no, but what he did do was he studied. Number three, he actually did this a bit last year, and I think the potential is here, and I'm not calling for this at all consistently, okay? But I think the film, especially from 2020, showed this. Kirk, you can extend rollouts, which you're good at, into scrambles instead of sometimes making a hurried bad pass that's going to fall short, that's not going to get you much, there are opportunities when you are rolling out. There was one game in particular at US Bank Stadium where he did this last year, and I forget the opponent. But he did it like twice or three times where there was room to run, and he took it. And he's not fast, but he's not terrible. And he got some yards. So I am in no way saying that this is a great idea consistently. But you know what, Phil Mackey? If I'm Kirk Cousins and I'm studying tape and I see that, and sometimes I see the throws that I make, which are low percentage, not great throws because guys are covered, I think there's opportunities here to gain some yards with your feet at times, and he showed that.
Crazy Legs Cousins, as I like to call him, averaged 4.9 yards per carry last year, which is 2 yards more than his career average. So when he ran, he gained more yards last year. The two games that you might be talking about, there was a game, well, at Tampa, he actually had 41 yards on 5 rushes. And then the next week, which was a home loss to Chicago, he had 3 carries for 25 yards.
That might be it.
He also, in that win against Carolina, he had 3 carries for 19. And then week one, a loss against Green Bay, had 4 carries for 34. So I wouldn't call him Walter Payton quite yet, or Michael Vick.
Or Lamar Jackson. I'm not saying that. I'm saying no. The film shows.
I prefer Cordell Cousins. I prefer Cordell Cousins.
Slash Cousins.
Yeah.
Cordell Stewart slash Cousins.
The fourth thing has to be split out wide sometimes and see what Mike Zimmer says.
I think I prefer just having better interior offensive linemen so he doesn't have to feel the need to outrun ferocious edge rushers.
It's a summer of film study. He watched every game. What did Kirk learn? Here's the fourth thing. And I have saved.
You like that?
For Kirker McKirkerson, I have saved the best for last, okay?
It's Kirky McKirkerson.
Well, whatever it is. Whatever it is.
Put some respect on that nickname.
I've saved the best for last.
Watch the film.
The fourth thing that I hope Kirk has learned, and everybody, including the head coach, Zim, hopes that Kirk has learned, protecting the football is priority one, okay? So if you're in the pocket and things start to collapse, and you are thinking to yourself, I got to make the perfect play still. Darn it, Kirk, the pressure's on you. Your teammates, the entire stadium, US Bank Stadium, is counting on you to make the play. So you hang in there, Kirk, and you make the, and boom, you're hit, and now the ball is out. And now it's recovered by the opponent. Or it's not, but you've lost 15 yards, okay? Protecting the ball above all, so that this means in the first 6 games, you can't throw 10 picks, too. Protecting the ball is priority one. And just to explain quickly here, this doesn't mean you can't take chances, right? But this also means that at times you have to be more aware of the situation and your limitations. And this is what I hope Kirk really learned. The limitations of Kirk. And one of those things is he's not good with blindside pressure. Some guys are, some guys aren't. He's not. That, to me, is why protecting the ball is fourth on this list.
Yeah, he had a combination of fumbles and interceptions, 22 last year. He had 13. Now, of those 13 picks, I want to say 11 came in the first 6 weeks. He led the entire league in interceptions.
Yes.
Yeah. So he has 28 fumbles in his 3 years as Vikings starting quarterback. His career high was 13 his last year with Washington, and he's brought it down to 9, 10, and 9 in terms of fumbles. And, you know, you might say, yeah, but fumbles lost, you know, there hasn't been that much damage done, but you can't really control that, right? Once the ball's on the ground, it's all right. Ideally, you keep it off the ground. So yeah, that's definitely a thing with him. He doesn't seem to, and you can even look too, like Pro Football Focus tracks self-induced pressures, and Tom Brady, who is the statue of all statuesque pocket passers, he's in his mid-40s and can't outrun a phone book, and Tom Brady only had like, I want to say, 6 or 7 self-induced pressures where he either didn't, you know, he held onto the ball too long, or he, you know, walked his way into a sack. Kirk had like 27 self-induced pressures last year. Mm-hmm. So whether it's not sensing pressure that's somebody else's fault, or whether it's just getting rid of the ball or just not moving into pressure and seeing ghosts, those are things that I would definitely recommend he take a second look at on film going back the last few years. So is that it?
No, I got one more. No, I got one more that's going to lead to an actual longer discussion. I saved the absolute best for the last point. Because Kirk brought this up This was the one really, so in talking about his study, this is the one revealing thing that he acknowledged, and it surprised me, but it answered questions too. The headline for this is, Kirk, you need to have learned that it's your job to adapt. And here's what I mean by that. So Kirk talked about that he realized or has, and like, if this is coming now, it's late, but you know what? I mean, if he caught on to this, good for him. He talked about the fact that he realized his first or second year here, I think it was his first year here, that that the way that Pierre Garçon ran a route or the way that DeSean Jackson did was not the way that Thielen necessarily would go about his business. And Kirk was used to what he was used to from different guys. And it sounds like he was sort of a one-size-fits-all. Well, if the receiver runs the route this way, that's how he should run the route. And I almost guarantee you now, this explains the kerfuffle between Thielen and Cousins in the Chicago game at the end of the 2018 season. Because if you recall, that whole thing on the bench was him trying to show Thielen how to run the route or how it should have been run. And you can clearly see that he's saying, no, this is not how I run the damn route. So this is a very intriguing one because this is late in life to learn this. But in my opinion, it's the quarterback's job to adapt. The receivers, the backs are going to do their thing. And that doesn't mean that the receivers can run the wrong routes. But if they run them slightly different, which in this league is a big deal, it's on guys like Cousins to adjust what they're doing to fit the Jeffersons, the Thielens. And so I think that this was the most interesting and revealing thing that Kirk delved down into, because it is imperative that the quarterback be the one to say, okay, you do this, he did that, cool, we'll work with that.
I understand where Kirk football is coming from too, because pretty much all of the big plays that are going to come, you know, through the arm of Kirk Cousins are going to be very much like within rhythm. Boom, take the snap, bang, bang, you know, ball is out. It's not going to be a broken down play where he's flush from the pocket like Russell Wilson does five times a week. Lamar Jackson, Pat Mahomes, look at Pat Mahomes just running for his life, keeping a play alive. Boom, he finds a wide receiver 40 yards down the field, right? After the route concept has already ended, and now it's just find an open spot on the field.
Right.
You don't see a lot of plays like that with the Vikings offense because Kirk isn't that type of quarterback. So one of the low-key, probably hardest things for him is figuring out timing of the route, do I have protection, and then what's the nuanced thing that Thielen or Jefferson might do based on where a safety is or a linebacker. You know, might he curve a route a little bit higher, right, than is scripted? And how do you figure that out on the fly if you're dropping back and you're trying to get everything out within 2.5 seconds? Mm-hmm. So I just went super deep dive football there, but I empathize with Kirk because he's trying to tell Thielen, I'm sure they've had a million conversations like this, dude, like, everything has to be within rhythm and right, sort of where I expect it to be, or it'll end in a train wreck. And Thielen's like, well, things aren't perfect all the time.
But that's right.
Sometimes a defender forces me to break a route off 2 yards early or curve it around or whatever it looks like, right?
So. Right. But it's Kirk's job as the quarterback to at least know the tendencies of his top guys. So, like, if you say, well, DeSean Jackson's tendency was this, if I'm Jefferson, I'm like, I don't care. My tendency is this, and I'm really, really good. It's completely different if you're Cordero and you are running the wrong damn route. And, you know, you're supposed to be 8 yards and you're 9 yards. That's a problem. But I thought that that was the most revealing part. And that ties back to one, which is the goal is not perfection here. The goal is points. The P that you want is points.
Oh my gosh, who lives in that cabin? What's wrong with their lakeshore? Look at all those weeds. Ugh, that is the worst cabin on the lake.
Don't be such a busybody.
Excuse me?
They must not know about Aquaside.
Is that what we use?
Yep, just one application of Aquaside each spring keeps our lakeshore weed free.
Shh.
Don't be that cabin this summer on your lake. Eliminate lake weeds this summer with Aquaside pellets.
I should tell them about Aquaside.
Oh, now who's the busybody?
Call 1-800-328-9350 or go to aquaside.com.
Good stuff. Football there. Judd Zolgad.
Yeah, wow.
five things that hopefully Kirk has been focused on.
Judd, if you want a timestamp between 9:30 and 25 minutes is where you want to go back and listen to what you just did and break it down and
well,
and
no, I
yourself
was,
or
where's
critique
your,
yourself.
Where's your time?
Well, mine was 13:30.
Okay, okay. Because I'm going to go back to what you did.
Yeah, sure.
And I'm going to go to school on you.
Okay.
Because
be
Kirk,
no,
because
like,
Kirk
I would like
did
some
say,
other outside criticism. Yeah,
No. Not to criticize you, to learn from myself. Kirk said he went back and looked at other quarterbacks as well.
Okay.
It was a big film study for Kirk. Set inside, a lot of
did
quicker.
He, did he say which other quarterbacks he went back and looked
no,
at?
No, he did not.
I mean, maybe Brady. I mean, everyone should look at Brady.
Yeah, he did not.
But the thing about Brady is it's, yes, Brady, just when you're watching him play quarterback and throw the ball, like there's a lot to learn. But I feel like the things that Kirk needs to learn from Brady are more about leadership and mentality and just like intangible, unquantifiable things that just aren't going to show up in a QBR or a Pro Football Focus rating necessarily. You know, Tom Brady from Tuesday through Saturday and how he's communicating with his offensive line behind the scenes and watching film and looking for nuances or adjusting protections at the line of scrimmage, right? Like, those are the things that he is brilliant at,
you know,
especially 20-plus years in the league.
Kirk put in some good old Rex Grossman tape.
Oh, my God.
This is what not to do.
Sexy Rexy. That's what he did. He's like, my guy, Rex Grossman, my mentor. Hey, Rex, it's Kirk. What's up, man? Rex is probably like, you SOB, how'd you get paid so much?
Well, if I'm Kirk and I'm watching Rex Grossman film, that sounds a little risky from a career standpoint. If Kirk is a business, he's probably going to want some risk management if he's watching Rex Grossman film. So I would recommend Federated. I don't know if Federated would help Kirk with that particular issue, but they can help your business with a lot of different things. And think about this, like as we get into summer here, and it's been very swassy in the Twin Cities, severe weather season is upon us. I mean, there was just a ridiculous rainstorm yesterday at Target Field.
Yeah, I was there
electrical,
for it.
Electrical outages can interrupt your business by disrupting vital computer, machinery, phone, security, and even refrigeration systems. So Federated has great resources to help you plan for weather emergencies. Just go to federatedinsurance.com and check out the risk management corner. And remember, at Federated, it's our business to protect yours.
The tarp blew across. I don't think I have seen this before. The tarp blew basically back across the infield, like halfway. And like a guy almost got caught in the tarp.
That's a dangerous job, man.
You need insurance. Dude, when the grounds crew, you need insurance from Federated. That's what you
do. People get trampled, man. People get stuck underneath those things.
I know, and you can suffocate, and it's ugly. Not good. That's not good at all.
Mm-mm. Yeah, the Twins brought Randy Dobnak to a Garrett Cole fight yesterday, too, which seems pretty common when the Twins play the Yankees.
My advice is don't go back and watch that film, Dobber. There's nothing you can learn. I'm going to come away with nothing that I hope you learn.
Go watch Garrett Cole.
From watching Loud Contact from Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge.
Because you were part of the Zoom calls all afternoon yesterday with Vikings players, how was Bashaud Breeland?
He's great. He's a lot of fun. Seems like a lot of fun. Now, of course, if he gets beat three times in a game or something, he might not be as much fun. But he's going to compete for a starting job. I am not going to be surprised if he beats out Dantzler to start at least the season. This is a guy who is wired, and I'm talking mentally here, okay? So I'm not saying that I have like gone back and watched his tape. I have no idea. But as far as what you want mentally from a corner, he's great. Like he's a talker. I guarantee he'll talk trash. He's super confident, but he's not, but he doesn't come off like a bad guy. He's just confident. Borders on cocky for sure, but I think he is a guy who definitely was told, Bashaud, you're going to get every opportunity to start, which means you got Bashaud, Pat P, and my guess is McKenzie in the slot because Bashaud made it pretty clear that the plan is for him to play outside, not inside. He can play there, but I think he's going to be outside.
Also, the more I think about this, I mean, Cam Dantzler looked really good for a rookie, especially for – there was like a 5 or 6 week stretch when he came back from injury at one point in like late October, November kind of time period. But he is a third round pick, and there's a reason why he wasn't a first round pick. He's not he's not a Jalen Ramsey, you know, just lockdown blue chip player. So having him take a back seat for even a year, and he'll still get snaps. Like, there's going to be injuries. There's going to be times where they're going to need an extra cornerback on the field or rotate guys or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I like it. I just, if someone goes down, you can't have these Chris Jones dudes out there Olaying, you know, literally diving out of the way of tackles and stuff. Like, you can't have that. So, yeah, I think Bashaud Breeland starts, unless he's just a total disaster in the preseason. This is his job, man.
Yeah, no, and I love cornerbacks who are at least cocky. Like, it's just more fun. That's a position you have to be cocky, because you're going to get beat. And if you're like, oh man, I got beat, my day is ruined.
I actually feel differently. Wouldn't you rather just be humble? Like, you're getting beat all the time.
Well,
in a good game, you're going to give up 50 yards.
If you suck, but I mean, you can't just like be like, well, I got beat again, and that's too bad. No, I want confidence. I want cockiness. You know who I love?
You can be confident without being cocky.
Yeah, look at me.
Shut up. Do you know who I loved? And he was an inside guy, and he was certainly not God's gift to the position, but I loved how he was wired. Benny Sapp. Well, him too. Benny Sapp was great. Benny Sapp was fantastic.
Benny Sapp?
Because he would talk constantly. He was, you know what, on that 2000, what was it, the 9 team, he was a backup. He played pretty well at times. I loved him, though. He was fun to cover. I want a guy who's fun to cover, too.
Okay, well, those are two different things. There's guys who are fun because they have fun personalities, and then there's Benny Sapp, who just had completely unwarranted levels of cockiness for his level of skill.
Yeah.
I'm saying maybe if Benny was a little bit less insecure and over-projecting with cockiness,
I loved him.
Maybe he could have been more self-reflective like Kirk and looked at some of the
better players. Wait. If we're going to break down football players, those positions are totally different. A quarterback has to oversee things. A cornerback has to be confident that he can get the damn job done, and there's only one job, and that's to make himself. Receivers and corners, to me, same guys. I want some swagger.
How does blind cockiness
help
you at any position in sports?
Because you've got to be self-assured that you're damn good, because you're going to get beat.
No, self-assuredness and blind, over-the-top, unwarranted cockiness are two totally different things.
Totally suck, but Benny Sapp, in the year that the Vikings went to the conference title game, played pretty damn well. He played pretty well. Yeah, if you can't shut a guy down to save your life, then you're just going to be cut. Like Chris Jones last year, right? Chris Jones or Chris Boyd couldn't be like, I'm really good, because you'd be like, no, you're really not good. But if you're going to be halfway decent at corner, I want a guy who's got a self-assuredness that he knows that life is not going to be perfect, but he can back it up. He can back it up by saying, I'm going out there and I'm going to shut this guy down. And you know what? If he's wrong, he's wrong.
All right, that's fair.
But quarterbacks, you need to be, like, if you're a cocky quarterbacks, it's a little bit different, because I think then guys don't like you.
I need more Judd's thoughts on life and personality.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, I'll give you position by position thoughts. I'll give you in sports. I got a lot of thoughts. I got a lot of thoughts about what I like.
Who's a quarterback that's overly cocky and doesn't match up with his actual level of skill?
You know, your guy actually is like this, and I don't know where his career is going. And they're
Philip Rivers?
No. I loved him. No, because he was his own sort of weird. Like, he was his own. No, the guy I was going to say who has a very good chance to not have it match up might be Baker Mayfield.
That's who I was about to say.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Baker Mayfield has a lot, but he's sort of an ass, too. You don't need to be an ass to be cocky.
Here's the psychological, the amateur psychological evaluation of Baker Mayfield. He isn't as good as he was in college for different reasons. He's not, like, his athleticism doesn't translate as well. His size, he's not a very big dude. He doesn't have any like outstanding skill sets or traits compared to some of the other dudes. And instead of just being humble and accepting that and having a quiet confidence, he's insecure about it.
Yes.
So he overprojects this cocky demeanor and chirps at reporters, and he's just got a chip on his shoulder, right? So, and ultimately, I think that's going to prevent him from being a really, really good, like, top 10 quarterback.
Yeah.
That gap and that insecurity.
If Baker Mayfield was a receiver or a cornerback, I could accept him more. But the problem is he is the face of the Browns in lots of ways. And yet, to your point, Phil, he's constantly insecure and he's sniping about things in the press. And it's just like, dude, this is really petty stuff for your position. But if he played receiver, it wouldn't surprise me one bit. Not one bit. But there's a difference between in quarterbacks. There's a difference between cocky guys who are asses and flaky cocky. Your guy, wow. Rivers, was flaky because he was a weird dude, but I loved him.
Flaky?
Flaky. Yeah, because he talked constantly, but he wouldn't swear. He trash talked without swearing. He brought his own little sort of brand.
Yeah.
Like he never dropped
guy.
An F-bomb.
When I think flaky,
okay. I'll amend
flaky?
It. But I mean, when you talk trash constantly and never swear, you're an odd duck, which I respect.
Or you're just like, I think he's just super religious, right? So he doesn't want to say a word.
Right, but wouldn't you ordinarily then not be trash talking as much? Like if you weren't going to swear, like if I'm not going to swear at you, I'm not probably going to trash talk.
Does Tim Duncan swear? I don't think Tim Duncan swore.
But he didn't talk, right?
Oh, he would talk on the court.
Okay, I do.
He's more
of
a quiet, introverted guy off the court.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, he would constantly glare at officials and things. I don't think.
But I mean, Favre brought his own swagger, right?
Kirk doesn't swear. Kirk doesn't swear.
No, that's not. Yeah, I wish Kirk would swear. See what that?
Would you like Kirk more if he swore?
I would like Kirk more if his personality was such that he swore and that he didn't look for perfection all the time, and that he realized that there's going to be faults in life. And that removing or putting a rock in some godforsaken thing every day is not going to help. And look, I am anal too, okay? Like, I've got weird rituals as well, but they don't really help me. They don't really help me. But
let's
nobody
do a pecking
cares.
Order right now. Judd's top five weird rituals.
Football.
I've told you about these things before, you know, where I like will touch stuff twice for no, you know, just because it's supposed to be good luck. And it's just weird. But those things don't help me. Putting a rock in something doesn't help. Grilling meat.
Four question Friday.
Grilling meat with nothing on it doesn't help Kirk. Like, it's weird.
We need one show a week of just Judd's thoughts on life and human psychology. This has been.
If you turn Kirk, if Kirk loosened up, if Kirk could loosen the tie, I think Kirk would be a better player because it would allow him more freedom of thinking.
I really like the 5 o'clock shadow look at OTAs for Kirk. I think it's showing that there's a little bit of an edgier Kirk here. A little bit of a loosey-goosey
I'd love to
Kirk
see the edgier
on the
Kirk.
Horizon, 2021.
I'm with you on this.
Here, yeah. The fourth quarter pharaoh, the secondary slayer, Kirky McClutcherton. All right, those are Judd's thoughts on what Kirk should have learned looking back at all of the film of his career. And you can find us every day here, Daily Vikings Entertainment, in podcast form, YouTube, Purple Daily YouTube. Click that subscribe button, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.